Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. I'm Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented for the third straight year by Hooters, and we also acknowledge Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan is the GM of Bill Curry Ford. He plays in one of our Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, against the likes of Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, and the Sage from JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you, Sean. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford, and thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I am recording this at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, just trying to get some fantasy thoughts posted to you, and hopefully these will be available to you at some point, either later tonight or early Monday, so there will be no comments about the Sunday night game between the Rams and the Browns. And as far as the Monday game is concerned with Bears and Redskins, there's not a lot fantasy-wise, which has been the theme of a lot of primetime games so far this year. Trust me, because I play usually DFS for all the primetime games, and some of them have been embarrassing lineups, and I've won money on them. So for the Monday game between the Bears and the Redskins, the shocker is that Case Keenum has put up decent fantasy numbers. I think pretty much everything else on the Redskins is avoidable at this point, but if you're in an absolute desperate situation, at least through two games, Keenum has put up numbers, albeit garbage time numbers. From the Bears' standpoint, Trubisky has been brutal. Really, the only thing you can count on with the Bears is that, as I talked about throughout draft season, when people were going a little overboard on Montgomery, Tariq Cohen was not going to leave the field. He's too much of a playmaker. He's too fast. Montgomery doesn't have that speed. And Allen Robinson seems to be the only guy who can catch the bad throws that Trubisky makes. I heard some stat earlier this week, Trubisky has the highest percentage of passes that are uncatchable, and it's like one of every four that he throws. So not a lot to like fantasy-wise, unless you have the Bears DST, which is always a good play on Monday night. So we skip over the Sunday night game. If there's something significant from that, we'll touch on it in the next Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I just jotted down some notes from the Sunday early window and the late afternoon window, and just want to share some of my observations from the Week 3 Sunday. In the order that I jotted them down, I continue to tell you KC's running back situation is next man up. I own Shady McCoy in the Moneyball League. I didn't play him. Why? Sure, he was cleared to play. Did he finish the game? No. Now, he ended up having a good game, but I want to know that the guy can go 60 minutes. We're going to talk about game flow affecting some other productive running backs that didn't get a full 60-minute game, and it hurts you for fantasy purposes. But I was worried that McCoy, independent of the conditions, because of the reports on his injury, even though he's active, how much would the Chiefs use him, and could he finish the game? He was productive fantasy-wise, but he didn't finish the game. There was no Damian Williams. They used Darrell Williams. They tried Darwin Thompson a little bit. I believe that was 4 carries, 8 yards. Nothing getting into the end zone there. It's not like they'll give up on him. But for those of you like me who took a flyer and just stashed him on the roster in case he hit pay dirt here and McCoy got hurt again and couldn't go forward, we don't have – it doesn't solve anything. Again, the only constants – in the Kansas City offense for fantasy purposes until Tyreek Hill comes back, and he apparently is ahead of schedule, is Mahomes and Kelce. Everything else, you're throwing a dart. For as many points as they score, you are throwing a dart. The floors are as low as the ceilings are potentially high. On the other side, Ingram with a huge game. Some massive fantasy numbers out there from Sunday as it relates to a few players. And Ingram put up the big numbers in the early window at the running back position. Lamar Jackson did not throw for a touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown, but Mark Ingram cashed in 3 times and I believe went over 100 yards. So a huge game for Mark Ingram, someone you probably drafted as your RB2 or even your RB3. It is paying off in this offense. Atlanta, the value of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I said all along, right, that the Falcons were a fantasy football team. And you know, I said they could potentially hover around as a playoff contender, but I still don't think this organization has gotten over blowing a 28-3 lead in Super Bowl 51. But from a fantasy standpoint, some guys are going to put up numbers. And there are some guys who are plug-and-play options, like an Austin Hooper was. But for you Julio Jones owners that were worried you weren't going to get touchdowns early in the season, you're getting them and the yards to match. And Matt Ryan, who finished last year as QB2 in fantasy football, just had another productive fantasy game. I mentioned not getting 60 minutes out of a player. That was why I didn't play McCoy. I didn't get it out of Ezekiel Elliott in one league, and I didn't get it out of Dalvin Cook in another league. Why? Because their teams were up so much that their coaches did not play them for the full 60 minutes. They went to backups instead. Still, I can't argue with Cook's 100 yards and his fantasy points, Elliott's 100-plus yards, although no rushing touchdown for Ezekiel Elliott, no touchdowns overall. Pollard did have a touchdown and had some productive yards in relief against Miami. But that's something that you had to consider also. It's not like you bench these big-time players when they're in situations, and less for Minnesota, but more for Dallas and certainly New England, you're just worried that the coaches are going to call the dogs off, and because it's so early in the season, they're going to put in the backups. And that's what happened both with Dalvin Cook and with Ezekiel Elliott, or owners of those two players would have potentially gotten even more. I've said all along, Denver stinks. They still don't have a quarterback. John Elway is the worst evaluator of quarterbacks active in the National Football League. They'll be looking for another one in the offseason if they don't attempt to bring in Eli for some reason, following Peyton's footsteps, which I don't think Eli would want to do. But of significance, Philip Lindsay goes back up after a very strong game for Royce Freeman last week against the Bears defense. Lindsay had the yards. I think it was just under 90 and 2 scores in the losing effort against Green Bay. New England was in that same position where, I mean, even Tom Brady sat at the end of the game, and that's why they didn't cover, because Stidham came in and threw a pick six to Jamal Adams. So the Jets technically cover the 20-plus point spread. The Dolphins against the Cowboys did not. But Josh Gordon got a ton of targets. You wondered how the Patriots would reset without Antonio Brown. It was Gordon getting a lot of targets. It was Edelman getting the other targets. These are guys that you can put in your lineup now that Antonio Brown isn't there anymore. And one thing that I did was, and I'm a big James White fan, but when I heard, I'll give credit, I heard it first from Adam Schefter on ESPN, that James White would miss the game because his wife was having a baby. I immediately took not only White out of my lineup, but in so many leagues, you could pick up Rex Burkhead. That was an obvious plug-and-play option today with no James White, because he can do the same things that James White can do, and he's probably more of a red zone rushing threat than James White was. So James White out, plug-and-play Rex Burkhead, and it worked out for me. And Sony Michel was okay. He hasn't had a lot of yards per carry, has been making the first guy miss. I guess a little bit better today for Sony Michel owners. X-rays on Edelman's ribs, the early results were that they were negative going forward for New England, not tested by the Jets. Another disappointing day for Le'Veon Bell owners. Again, for those of you who said, why should anything be different? It's the same Le'Veon Bell. Well, things do get different when you go to the New York Jets, and it's been made worse by the Sam Darnold situation. Now, the Jets have the early bye next week. Keep that in mind. Week four, we got some byes kicking in already. The Jets are hopeful Darnold can go in week five. But yeah, as Gustafson said, in grumpy old men or grumpier old men, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets filled first. Love that line. Buffalo, you know, Frank Gore was brought in to do the little things. He's doing more than just the little things. And this is a guy who hasn't had a lot of fantasy value in recent years, but he does on these Bills. With Singletary out, the Bills basically had two guys who could run for touchdowns, Josh Allen and him. Gore got the rushing touchdown. Josh Allen was okay, didn't provide as much of the bump from rushing, but you can't expect it every game from Josh Allen. So just like Lamar Jackson actually didn't throw for touchdowns, but he rushed for one today, sort of the opposite effect there. But in the end, the Bills still win. The momentum is still positive for the Bills. And for Josh Allen and Frank Gore, maybe a guy that I claim Josh Allen. I played him this week. I played him instead of Baker Mayfield in one of my leagues. Frank Gore, I've toyed with. In the end, I mean, he's not going to get you a lot, but as a plug and play option, let's just put it this way. He's a hell of a lot better than plugging and playing a Peyton Barber, the way things are going in Buffalo and the way things are going in Tampa Bay. Monster day for Darren Waller. For those of you who did not make the tight end non-mandatory, as I've been telling you to do every podcast, but Waller's a hell of a player, and Oakland doesn't have a ton of targets for Carr, and Waller's just a big body, very athletic, seems to have good hands. I didn't see a lot of the game, but I know that Hooper and Waller had the big tight end games from the early window. Dallas, in covering the big number against the Dolphins, it was both Elliott and Pollard on the ground. Dak's day was good. It wasn't great. It was good fantasy-wise. And without why do I always forget his name? I have a mental block as it relates to one of the Cowboy wide receivers. I always want to call. I just had it and I lost it again. I always want to call Michael Gallup Billy Cundiff. I don't know why. But with Michael Gallup out, the thought was, well, who will this benefit? It benefited Amari Cooper, clearly the number one guy. So Amari Cooper gets two touchdowns and I think just under 100 yards in Dallas's route. Cincinnati, bad team, but there's value in certain players on bad teams. Mixon, just because of the volume. Boyd, we've been talking about him now for two seasons. And it wasn't a great day for Andy Dalton. But in a week four with the bye weeks coming up, I don't know if Cincinnati's on one of those bye weeks. That's a plug-and-play quarterback because they're going to be behind and they're going to throw a lot. And because of their head coach cut from the McVay cloth. Two defenses now that, you know how sometimes we stream a defense against a bad offense? You can do the reverse too. might want to start identifying when you can get a fantasy player or use it as a tiebreaker if they're going up against the Eagles or the Cardinals, because the Eagles and the Cardinals' pass defenses are dog shit. Look at what Kyle Allen of the Carolina Panthers did to the Arizona Cardinals today. Yeah. And the Eagles are just brutal. So start looking at who plays the Eagles in Arizona each week. And until further notice, look at the fantasy guys, especially wide receivers or quarterbacks against them. And keep that in mind when you're looking for guys on waivers or you're trying to set your lineups. Green Bay, Jamal Williams stays in the mix here for the Packers. I know this is frustrating, Aaron Jones owners, but you know what? That's part of being an Aaron Jones owner. I was an Aaron Jones owner last year, and overall I was pretty happy with him. But the Packers, they really like Jamal Williams, and this is from one coach to another coach now. It does hurt Aaron Jones' volume, but Williams isn't going away. I'm not saying pick up Williams as a handcuff, but he's just there, and he's not going away unless he's hurt. MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, bubbled up again as a guy that Aaron Rodgers feels he can throw to. Only four targets for Davante Adams. He caught all four, but only four targets. MVS had the bigger game. Mentioned Tampa Bay. Huge game for Mike Evans. Amazing the Giants left Jenkins, a horrible corner with inferior size against Evans. Evans scored three times in the first half, then did nothing in the second half until catching a 40-plus yard touchdown leading up to the Matt Gay shank that cost the Bucs the game. So for Bucs fans that say, we have a kicker, no, you don't. Two missed extra points and a missed game winner from 32 yards. You do not. But Evans, huge game. Godwin didn't get in the end zone, but still very involved. And another game from O.J. Howard, who was thrown under the bus by Bruce Arians earlier in the week. The Giants lose Saquon Barkley. This will kill me in my Moneyball league if he's out an extended period of time. At the time I'm doing this podcast, we just heard it was an ankle sprain. So apparently there's no broken bones. But you got to think he's going to miss a couple of weeks. You got to think he might miss as many as what, two, three, four? I saw the play live and just how awkward it looked. And for Barkley to react that way, you knew he didn't want the cart to get off the field either. He didn't want that. He'll get back as soon as he can. But if you do own Barkley, you better plan to be without him. You know, you'll probably know more by the time of this podcast, but yeah, hopefully have some depth at the running back position. We mentioned Carolina taking advantage of Arizona's dog shit secondary. DJ Moore just continues to get a lot of targets, whether it's Cam or whether it's Allen. Clearly, Norv Turner likes drawn up plays for DJ Moore. That might be, look, Carolina's not a good team. They're not a good team, but there's value in guys on bad teams. And if there's volume in targets, it makes a player valuable. Moore is worthy of a roster spot and plugging and playing in certain situations. Chris Carson had another fumble. It was a turning point in the game against the Saints, where the Saints didn't have a lot going again with Teddy Bridgewater. You know, they had a punt return touchdown from Deontay Harris. Then Carson fumbles, going to the ground, and the Saints return it for a touchdown. That got the Saints going in that game. They're protecting Bridgewater by basically he's throwing to Michael Thomas, and he's throwing out of the backfield to Kamara, which is a good idea, but at some point he needs to do more than that. Nevertheless, Carson's fumble landed him on the bench again. Penny was inactive. So that's a problem for Seattle and Chris Carson owners. Mentioned the insomnia about Kittle in draft season. Look, it's not like he's a bad player, but I just couldn't fathom him being talked about so lofty in draft season with how highly people were drafting him. The targets were there again today. Didn't get in the end zone, though. He had a couple called back in week one. But for those of you that overdid it on Kittle, yeah, I think you should see what I'm talking about now. And it certainly was a slow start for Garoppolo before the Niners ultimately found a way in that game in beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the targets are still there for Kittle. I know some have already made some rash decisions as it relates to Kittle, which just shows that you didn't put enough thought into what you were doing draft-wise. If you're already blowing up your draft board and blowing up your QB1, your RB1, your wide receiver 1, and your tight end 1, or any of them. And I have not been a Keenan Allen fan for years, but he is putting up some big-time numbers. From the late games, Allen's stat line really stands out. The way Ingram's line stood out in the early games at the running back position with Austin Eckler came back down to earth. No touchdowns and what I believe a total of 70, 80 yards in tandem offense. Still love that term, but Allen huge. He's getting the call in the red zone. He's getting into the end zone. He's their biggest threat. So I will modify my thoughts on Keenan Allen going forward, and going back to week 12 of last year, Allen is getting a significant amount of 20-plus yard plays. So for those of you that did invest in Keenan Allen, perhaps as a wide receiver 1/2, it is paying off big time, and he could go probably, right? Because Hopkins didn't score. Allen's probably going to go into, I still have the Rams game tonight, but Allen's probably going to go into week 4 as wide receiver 1 through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. That's pretty good. And if he's not wide receiver 1, he's going to be in the top 3 or 4. All right. Again, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I know for those of you that listen to the podcast, you know not to email me on Sundays leading up to kickoff of games. Sundays are for me to manage my leagues, my teams, run my golf tournaments, and do my own thing. But I will answer emails Monday through Saturday when you email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I know the people that I had to turn one away earlier today. He waited until Sunday morning, and clearly he doesn't listen to the podcast. So thank you for those of you who do listen to the podcast. I'm happy to answer your emails. I don't have time to do it on Sunday, and I hope you can respect that. Sunday is mine. I'll give you Monday through Saturday. Get out in front of what you need for Sunday and email me any of those other 6 days. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we will talk to you again later this week. Remember, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at ToddWright2019.